Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 8 and my first podcast of 2012. That's right. It's been 2 weeks. I usually try to put these up like every week or so. But, you know, the holidays were here and I got a little sidetracked. And I have to go back to curbing the ANDA habit. So, what's been happening? What's been happening with you guys? What's been happening with me? First of all, today I ran into the UPS driver who comes to our building, and I don't really see him that often, but I wished him happy holidays and all that. It was nice to see him. I asked him if he saw that weird video of the delivery guys that was on the internet, you know, giving a finger to the camera and throwing packages around, and he laughed about that. And then he said to me, it's so funny how guys try to bond, because I have absolutely no interest in sports, as specifically football. I'm not a football guy. I mean, I used to like boxing. I used to like baseball. I still like some of these things. I like to watch highlights, like on the internet. I like to watch a good play, but I can't sit there and watch a whole game because I don't really care. And he was, as he was walking out, you know, down the path, whatever, out of my building, he's, got some good, have a good weekend. It's got some good football this weekend. I always try to, you know, just pretend to go along. What's the point of me saying I'm not into, what am I going to admit to the guy that I'm not into football? He's going to think I'm gay or something. Not that that's bad, but, you know, although I know gay guys that are into football. And I was like, yeah, big football. He goes, yeah, Denver-Pittsburgh game is going to be sick. I go, oh, jeez, I know. Oh, man, sick. And then he left. But I realized I've actually had conversations with people, you know, like more in-depth sports conversations where, you know, it doesn't matter what you say, because you could say someone, a team's got good defense or they got bad defense or whatever, and there's always somebody that's got that opinion. So someone could say, well, you know, Pittsburgh's defense is really bad. They go, oh, come on, really? You really think that? I mean, what makes you say that? And then they'd have to, I'd make them say why the defense is so bad or good or whatever. But, you know, so that was my little brush with the UPS driver. And, you know, a lot of holidays, there was a Christmas, there was my birthday, there was New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Christmas. It's weird. I was trying to make sure, you know, I got this thing where I was trying to make sure I was wishing people when I would see them, like a happy, Merry Christmas, happy holidays. You know, you see somebody and maybe, you know, you just go out of your way, hey, happy holidays, because you don't want anybody to feel left out. But there's like an expiration to when you can say happy holiday or Merry Christmas. Anyway, I found out, I said to one kid, I saw him on December 26th. And I said, Merry Christmas. And he said, well, Christmas is over already. Yeah, how's that for gratitude? Well, all right. Happy holidays. Happy new. Go jump in the lake. I don't care. And one of the big drawbacks of the holiday is that there's a lot of sugar products. I don't know what it is, particularly the Christmas, just lots and lots of sugar. Something about the birth of Christ, something about the possible Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, whatever you want to call him. Something about that makes people go, oh, this Messiah has been born. Have a cookie. I don't know. It's just weird. And I try to have like sugar like once a week now. I've lost a bunch of weight. Somewhere, I think in the vicinity of like 100 pounds, something like that, over the last few years. And particularly the last few months, I've kind of ramped it up. And so in the last few months, I've been just having sugar like once a week, basically, if that. But during the holidays, I allowed myself to kind of slip around in it. You know, it's kind of a slippery slope, you know. And then what happens is that people make excuses for eating sugar. Like I was saying to somebody, oh, you know, I only usually eat sugar like, you know, once a week. And they go, oh, well, it's the holidays. Go, what's the matter with you? What are you even talking about? It's the holidays. It's, you're supposed to eat sugar during the holidays. It's not, just knock yourself out. But the problem is, and this is very true, this was true for me before, that there's always a holiday that involves sugar. You know, and so, you know, you could get through the Christmas and the New Year's and the whatever, but pretty soon, what's the next big holiday? Well, Valentine's Day, even if you're not hooked up with somebody, particularly if you're not hooked up with somebody, you may want to fix your feelings by eating a lot of sugar or eating some sugar. You know, and then there's going to be, you know, whatever, Easter, Flag Day, I don't know, whatever, Memorial Day, July 4th. There's always an excuse. That's my point. There's always an excuse to eat sugar. And sugar, you know, is not really great for you, but, you know, what can you do? It's there. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, I remember eating, you know, we would have lots of sugar. And back in those days, back in the old days, back in the 20th century, sugar wasn't considered one of the four or five food groups. That's right. You were supposed to eat sugar in those days. Kept you strong and healthy. It was good for your teeth. No, I mean, this is weird. This is weird. I had a dentist when I was a kid. We called him Dr. Johnny. Dr. Johnny! And, you know, when you're a little kid, you know, if you're taking care of your teeth, you're not going to have cavities for like the first few years. And every time that we had a good checkup, you know, where it was like you had no cavities, Dr. Johnny would reward us with a sugary treat like some bubble gum or some candy or some lollipop. And I guess, you know, my parents didn't really, they thought it was, of course, it's a reward. And the reward actually was for Dr. Johnny because he made a lot of money off the cavities that sugar put into my teeth. I'm not blaming Dr. Johnny. Well, you know, I'm blaming him for the giving me sugar at that point. I was going to have sugar anyway, but I'm just saying that was kind of an odd reward. You know, that's like trying to think of a good analogy. Like you have a good physical checkup at the doctor and they give you a pack of cigarettes. I don't know. Maybe it's similar. So I'm rambling, folks. Give me a break. It's 2 weeks I've been off from this podcast. Can you just give me a break? Can you stop judging me? Stop judging me right now. I know nobody's really judging me. Well, maybe people are judging me. But there's nobody here. My microwave is looking at me funny, though. And another thing about Christmas is, you know, people go crazy shopping for gifts. And they pay top dollar. They pay top dollar for these gifts. And then what happens every year? The day after Christmas sale. I mean, I saw ads advertising 80% off. Now, come on. When are people going to get hip to this whole Christmas scam? You want to celebrate Christmas. You want to give gifts. Fine, go ahead, give gifts. But wait until the day after so you can get a good deal. Get a little more wholesale. After all, Jesus, you know, the guy that whose birthday it is, happens to be a member of my tribe. And if anybody out there knows anything about my tribe, is that we are traditionally very good with money. That's right. We know how to get a deal. Yeah. So what I'm saying is I think that Jesus himself would actually not mind if you waited and got the after Christmas sale. You know, he would be like, what are you, crazy? You're paying that? You're going to pay that much? Forget about it. Wait a day or so. Wait a day or so. You'll get the discount and you'll be happy. And you'll still be celebrating my birthday. Plus, isn't there like 12 Days of Christmas, that song? The 12 Days of Christmas? I don't understand the 12 Days of Christmas. You know, what is the 12 Days of Christmas? Does it start I guess it's the first day of Christmas would be Christmas. Then the 12 days would take you to like January 6th or something like that. That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense to me. So what else? I don't know if you hear, there's some hammering going on in the outside, in my street. So it's not too bad. I don't think it's going to interfere with the podcast. I went Speaking of Jews, I went with my friend Jason to one of the greatest Jewish delis I've ever been to in years, I mean, it was a throwback from when I was a kid. I grew up in the East Coast, and Jewish delis were prevalent. And, you know, they're high-fat, delicious corned beef, chopped liver, potato pancakes, kreplach. I mean, and there's a certain smell that I just haven't smelled in years. And this place had it. It's called Brent's in Northridge, California. And we went there, and it was absolutely delicious. It was. We got two sandwiches that we split. We only ate half a sandwich, and we got a potato pancake, a potato latkes each, and we got an egg cream, which is a seltzer with a little milk and this You Bet chocolate syrup. Oh God! I mean, the spirits of my grandparents were smiling down on me. They were quelling, as they say. And a very well-run place. They have all these great workers. They have a huge Latino workforce, people, a lot of busboys and, I guess, cooks and deli people, Latino people, just great, great people. Latino people get a bum rap. These people work hard. They go beyond the call of duty. I'm tired of people, you know, messing with my Latinos. Besides the fact that, you know what, I hate to say it, folks, but the Latino, they're not minorities anymore. Look around, folks. There's a lot of Latinos. Pretty soon they're going to take over. So I would suggest that you get on board and start liking these people. But they were real, very, very nice. And I was so excited to be there. And I'm so verbal, as you can tell, and gregarious. And we had this waitress, older kind of, you know, middle-aged waitress, came over. You know, looks like the kind of waitress has been waiting on tables, probably there forever. And I said, oh, I'm so excited. I haven't been to a deli like this in years. And she just gives me this completely disinterested look, you know, like, can I help you, hon? You know? And so she better get on board, or she's going to be replaced by a very fine Latina waitress. That's all I'm saying. Then, right before New Year's Eve, the day before New Year's Eve, the 30th, December 30th, was my birthday. And I'm not a big fan of my birthday. Not because so much because I'm getting older, because we're always getting older. I just never liked the fact that it was just in the middle of all the holidays. I guess it's just the way I am. I guess I could look at it like, wow, it's one big celebration, but I'm not feeling that. I probably haven't felt that since I was about five. Plus, it just feels like there's a lot of pressure. People are always, you know, do something good for your birthday. What are you doing for your birthday? I'm trying to do something good for myself every day. How about every day? Treat every day like it's your birthday. Hey, it's pretty idealistic for a pessimist, huh? But this birthday was very special. It was very momentous, very landmark birthday. Not because of the number, which I won't divulge, because of the fact that I, and I think the word I is very meaningful to the next sentence I'm going to say, I purchased the brand new iPhone. That's right. I've got the new iPhone, the 4S. And my friend Wesley, as you know, who has built my website and helped me put together this podcast, came with me. Wesley is I kid that he's about 20 clicks ahead of me technologically, and that might be true. He's very passionate about the Apple products, extremely passionate. So he took me, well, I took him. I picked him up, we met, and he got in my car. I drove. That's the point. It was my gas, okay, folks? He didn't pay for the gas. We actually went to the AT&T store because he suggested I get AT&T as my carrier. And what's notable about this is that I've never had a cell phone. I know it's, please stop, get up off the ground. This is how stubborn I am, how I can be. I just resisted it forever and ever. I don't know why. I'm just, you know, whatever, slow to change. But once I grasp change, man, I run with it, baby. And so we're in the store and he's telling people, this is his first phone. This is his first phone. And I said to him, why are you telling people it's my first phone? And he laughed. He goes, because, you know, it's like your first phone, it's an iPhone. It's like you've never had a car and your first car is a Rolls Royce. So I said, oh, okay. You know, I guess that's okay. And so, you know, so now I have this phone that can do everything. This is just crazy what this phone can do. It's got a feature on it called FaceTime, which is like Skype, where you can, if people have the similar thing on their phone, at least on the iPhone, it has to be a 4 or a 4S, then you can communicate with people by looking at them in very unflattering images. It's not the greatest image, but it's cool. Because I got to see my my family. I get to see my family now, but they're living a couple thousand miles away. So my mom, my dad, my sister, and my niece, and that was great. And it really is like that scene in 2001, A Space Odyssey, when one of the astronauts gets a birthday message from Earth from his parents, and they're singing to him. And it's just kind of the same thing. This is 2001, only it's 2012. And then I was having a little bit of trouble figuring out the phone. I mean, Wesley's been helping me quite a bit. Without him, I'll tell you, I'd be really lost. And so I called AppleCare, and I was able to talk to them because I'm under warranty for like about 30 days or whatever to get support. And I couldn't read, like the text was so small on this. I had my email set up, and I couldn't read it, and I got this girl on from the Apple, and she asked me if I knew how to expand things with my fingers. That's right, Your Honor. That's what she said. So, that's what she said. And, you know, there's obvious retorts to that. But now, so that's what you do. You just spread the screen, and the letters get bigger. And I'm becoming so addicted to this phone. I've only had it for like a week, so I'm told that it's gonna kind of wane all this excitement. But I do have an addictive personality, and so I'm putting people into my phone who I don't even like. And texting them. I'm texting people I don't even care about. Just because I'm becoming so addicted to texting. I can't stop texting. And the thing about this phone, not only can you text in the traditional texting way, but they also have voice text. You say what you want to be text, and it types it out, and it prints it out, and then you send it. Of course, it doesn't always understand you. I have a friend who's a hypnotherapist. And I made up a little song for her, and the first two lines are, she's the queen of hypnosis, she'll tackle your neurosis. That's the first two lines. So I said that into the microphone, and it said, she's the queen of neurosis, she'll tackle your new roses. So that, you know, wasn't going to work out. I'm also getting into lots of, not lots of, but I'm able to get into tech conversations now. I was not able to. I'm just finding myself drawn into them. I was talking to some guy, and we're talking about the Kindle and the iPad, and you know, it's like sports. Although I know maybe a little bit more than about this than I do about football. And now people are saying to me, "Oh, now we can play games! Whee! We're gonna play games!" You know, one of my friends said, "We can play, you know, Words with Friends." And my sister wants me to play Angry Birds. And I'm like, you know what? How about Angry Middle-Aged Guy? How about that? I could play that one. I don't know. I don't see myself playing games. I don't want to get that. Because then it's going to be like, what am I going to... Am I ever going to write anything? Am I ever going to read anything? Am I ever going to produce anything? I'll just be sitting with this crazy phone playing things and trying to do, you know, get words, whatever. Ay. At one point, though, I did get a little teched out the other day. I just wanted to like write in longhand or something. Just do something from like a throwback, you know. Maybe go drive a stick shift. You know, maybe send a telegram or a carrier pigeon. Oh, man. And what's interesting is I've been in the last, I don't know, let me see, it's been about 3 weeks, 2 weeks or so, 2-3 weeks, I've been reading Steve Jobs' biography. Steve Jobs, one of the founders of Apple, who, you know, unfortunately passed away recently. This is a book that was written by, it's a fantastic book. I'm about, I don't know, more than halfway done. I recommend it highly. Steve Jobs asked this gentleman, Walter Isaacson, who has written other books, to write this book. He cooperated fully. This guy had full access to, he had access to Steve Jobs, friends, family, enemies, foes, whatever. I guess enemies and foes are the same thing. And Steve Jobs had absolutely no control over the book. And it's not a very flattering portrait of this man. Didn't know very much about him. He's considered a genius. I tell you the truth, I'm at page 338, and it is about 500 and some pages, 600. I still don't understand what he does, except he drives people. He's like the driving force. Like he's not a tech guy. He's kind of he's a charmer. Supposedly he was a very charming, he could turn the charm on. He could bend you to his will. He had supposedly had a mesmerizing stare that would make people wilt. And he would drive his team to excellence. But he was also very tyrannical. Is it tyrannical? Tyrannical. He was a tyrant. And it, very often people would show him their latest work, and he would, without even looking at it, say, "This is shit." Throw it back at them. And it's just like, wow, that's weird. I mean, because he's kind of being considered like in the same class as like Edison and Einstein. I don't know. Maybe those guys would act the same way. I'm not sure. I don't think Einstein would have. I don't believe that. But so I don't. It's what was I going to say? I'm losing my train of thought here. Oh, but allegedly, since he was about 19, he was a Zen Buddhist. This is where the dichotomy comes in here. He was a practicing Zen Buddhist. Now, I don't know anything about Zen Buddhism, but I always thought that they were chill. I always thought that they were supposed to be some kind of spiritual thing that, you know, where you're calm. It didn't seem like you would be rape people. You wouldn't be, you know, a tyrant. I don't know. I don't understand. You know, what he was, how he was a Zen Buddhist. I think he was more like a Zen Buddhist. I'm sorry, I had to say that. He's a Zen Buddhist. Zen Buddhism. Zen Buddhism. Okay, I think we're coming. We're winding down here, folks. I think I got rid of Friggin though. I'm not saying Friggin as much. The last thing I would like to talk about is I mentioned the check that my parents sent me, and that my dad promised me he was not going to ask me, he's not going to bug me about when I'm going to go to the bank to cash the check. And I tell you, the other day, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. It was six days after my birthday. I'm on FaceTime with my dad. He looks at me and he goes, "Did you go to the bank yet?" I couldn't believe this. Oh, I could believe this. And I said, "No, I didn't. I didn't." I said, "You know what? Maybe I'll never go to the bank. Maybe I will just let that check stay in the drawer and never cash it. Until you'll always have that hole in your checkbook. And you'll never know if you should spend that money." Nah, I wouldn't do that to my dad. Plus, what the hell? It's money. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that he, you know, already asked me. Already. You know, the new year is 5 days old. He wants to know if I've gone to the bank yet. Especially after he told me he wouldn't even ask me, or he wouldn't bug me. Well, he said he wouldn't bug me. He didn't say he wouldn't ask me. So he asked me once. That's not really bugging. Anyway, that's it for me, folks, for this episode 8. I hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll put another one up in a week or so. Thanks again for everybody for listening, whoever is listening, and whoever is not listening. I hope you listen, and I thank you in advance. Take care.